When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on. He was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, "I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about?" He tried to see him. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Let's bow our heads and seek God's help with this bit of his words. Father, we thank you for the truths of Scripture. We thank you that this account of what Jesus did is a carefully investigated eyewitness account. And we praise you that it's in our hands today to do us good. Father, please teach us today. Father, please would your Holy Spirit bring these words to bear in our hearts and on our lives. Would they be transforming for us today? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you could just have a look down with me at verse 13. That's where I want us to begin this morning. Verse 13. Picture the scene. Jesus is standing in front of a huge crowd. A massive crowd. 5,000 men, probably plus women and children. And in a culture where they had lots of kids, that probably meant a lot of people. This is a big crowd. And Jesus looks at this crowd. They're hungry. They've been with Jesus all day. Some of them may have traveled a distance. They've been with Jesus for a while. And at this moment in time, they're hungry, and for the night, they're homeless. And Jesus turns to his disciples, and he says this. Look at verse 13. You give them something to eat. You give this massive crowd something to eat. Now, I want to start there this morning because I want to suggest that this little phrase, "you give them something to eat," captures something of the task that Jesus left these 12 men to do in the world. "You give them something to eat" is a phrase that captures something of the work that, if you are a disciple of Jesus here this morning, he has given you and I to do in this world in which we live. You give them something to eat. He leaves us with the task of feeding a needy crowd. Not with physical food, Not with bread, as important as that may be, but he leads us in the needy crowds of our world to feed them with what their greatest need is. He leads us to feed a world, to use the language of our story here, who find themselves outside of the kingdom of God. That's what the phrase, he goes around preaching about the kingdom of God. And he says, look, here is a needy crowd. Why? Because they're away from God, their king. That's what a kingdom is. God is king and they're outside of the place they should be, the God who made them. That is a need. It's a crowd that is in desperate need of a saviour. Forgiveness of their sins, forgiveness for turning against the God who made them. And they need a saviour before they meet that God as judge. That's a needy and a hungry crowd. He meets a crowd. We live in a crowd of people, including ourselves, who are needy because of the brokenness of our world. We meet this need all the time, every day. We live in a broken world. Why? Because of sin that entered the world in Genesis 3. Our world is cursed. Our world is broken. Our bodies are broken. Our bodies are decaying. And it's all around us. Before us is a hungry, needy crowd. Our world. And this phrase, you give them something to eat, captures something of the work that Jesus leads these 12 men and the rest of his disciples who follow to do. You feed the hungry crowd. You meet their needs. You give them something that meets their greatest need. And let's make it real for a moment. If Jesus was standing here before us, he might say something like this to us. You, Silver Street Community Church, you give the crowds of Edmonton something to eat. You give your friends and your family something to eat. Jesus has left us with a job to do. And this phrase, you give them something to eat, I know he's talking about food in front of a crowd, but I think it captures something of the task that he gives us to do. And what follows in this miracle, you know, and maybe some of us have been hanging around church for a while and we've heard this miracle. It's a real sort of Sunday school miracle, isn't it? That Jesus takes some fish and some bread and he multiplies it. But can I tell you that this isn't a story for kids necessarily. This is a story for us because he's about to teach them a lesson using this miracle about how you go about the task of feeding a massive crowd. How do disciples, how do we go about the task of feeding the masses of Edmonton? You know, if I've done my calculations properly, just by looking at local statistics, there are about 33,000 people around this building in this part of Edmonton. 33,000 people. How does a handful of people like us go about feeding these needy crowds who are outside of the kingdom? Who are in need of forgiveness. How do we go about it? And what follows from Jesus in this story is a lesson in how you and I go about that task. A lesson for disciples. How do we do it? And here it is. He takes them to school. And the first thing is this. When you're told to feed a hungry crowd, remember Jesus is the powerful provider. That's the first lesson that he has for disciples in this story. When he says, you give them something to eat, first lesson is remember first that Jesus is the powerful provider. This ages me a little bit, but I remember when I was growing up, there was a TV advert. It was for the AA. Does anyone else remember these TV adverts? No, some of you are looking at me funny. Some of you will sympathize. You'll get this in a minute, okay? So it's this old, I think it was an old Ford Cortina or something. It was on the side of the road, and there's the dad under the bonnet. Steam's coming out, and he's got these makeup kind of oil streaks on his face, and he's under there trying to fix it. And the kids' heads pop out the side of the car, and they say, Dad, can you fix it? And he pops his head round the side of the bonnet, almost kind of choreographed, you know. And he says, no. Does anyone remember what he says? But I know a man who can. Yeah, see? This is it. This really is aging me now, isn't it? This is it. No. See, sorry, Joe, you know. But you know, Mandy's going to be 70 this year, aren't you, Mandy? Is that right? 70 for you this year, isn't it? That's it. That's it. I'm just aging me. We're in the same category, obviously. But okay, so look, here's the phrase. No, I can't fix it, but I know a man who can. I know a man who can. And you see, this is the place that disciples have to start when it comes to this job that Jesus has left us with, of feeding the crowds. When faced with the needs of those around us, whether that is the masses of Enfield, the vast crowd, or whether it's an individual that you're getting to know. When faced with those situations of need, we have to remember that we can't help, but we know a man who can. That's the first lesson for disciples. We know someone who can help, and his name is Jesus. He is the one who helps. And as this story unfolds, Jesus is clearly putting on display that he is the one who has everything that people could possibly need. He is the source of help for a hungry and a needy crowd. And he does that, he demonstrates that by providing them with food, because that's the particular needs. But he's pointing beyond just giving them their physical needs, saying that Jesus is the one who meets our greatest needs. So just follow the story with me. We just read it a moment ago, but verse 13. It's the disciples, actually, in verse 12, who stir the compassion. You see this? It's interesting. They feel compassionate for this crowd. They're going to get hungry, Jesus. But what follows is Jesus' lesson. You give them something to eat, he says. And then they say, well, we've only got this little bit of lunch with us. And then he says, well, make them sit down. And then he takes this small lunch. He looks up to heaven. Incidentally, that's where you always look for your help in ministry. He looks up to heaven and he breaks the bread and the fish. And then he tells the disciples to distribute it. And there is enough for this crowd with leftovers. The story, at a very simple level, demonstrates the power and authority of Jesus to provide for people what they need. Faced with a hungry crowd, Jesus has what that crowd needs. What Jesus demonstrates in this story, as he calls you and I to give the crowd something to eat, is that you can't do it, but we know a man who can. You can't do it, but you know a man who can. Jesus is the source of the help that we need. He alone is the source of help for a hungry world. And what he demonstrates is not just that he can do that with some food, but that he does it with his power and authority to bring people out of the kingdom into the kingdom. You see, the story today, I don't know if you noticed this, but it started with Jesus sending the 12 out into the community to preach. So just follow the story with me, because this picture builds. Jesus has what people need. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. He calls the 12 together. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. Jesus, in the previous chapters of Luke, as we've been looking at it together, is the one who has demonstrated his power, his provision, to be able to set people free from the grip of Satan. Do you remember the story of the demon-possessed man just a few weeks ago? The man in the tombs? Here he was, he's under the powerful captivity of Satan. And who has the power? Who has what this man needs? It's Jesus. He's the powerful provider. And in this story here, Jesus, the powerful provider, gives it on to the disciples. But where does it come from? It comes from Jesus. He sends them out with a message of the kingdom of God. This is what they went around preaching. This was Jesus' priority. And why is it? What is this message? It's the message that Jesus came into this world to take people who are outside of the kingdom and to give them a place in the kingdom. To bring them the forgiveness they need. That's the message that they go around preaching. The message of the kingdom of God, very simply, is Jesus is the powerful provider. Jesus has what you need in your greatest need as a sinner. Jesus has what you need to become someone who has a place in the kingdom of God. Jesus powerfully provides. Jesus alone can give what people need. And as they return, so they're sent out on this mission. Jesus is the powerful provider. They're going around telling people Jesus is the powerful provider. As they return from their mission, they gather together. Jesus Corner calls them in, post-match analysis. You know, get into the changing room, guys. We're going to talk about what just happened. And as he's doing so, what happens? Another crowd comes. And verse 11, what do you find Jesus doing? Have a look. He keeps providing. He gives them a welcome. He preaches the kingdom to them. That's their greatest need. And he looks after them physically. That's what Jesus is about. Jesus is the powerful provider. And friends, when we are faced with the hungry and needy crowds of Edmonton, when we are faced with that individual that we're sitting with who finds themselves in need for whatever reason, sickness, because life is broken, there's relationships out of place, because they have a sense of not being right with God, whatever reason it is, you're sitting with someone individually. The first thing that disciples need to learn is that Jesus is the powerful provider, not you. I can't do it, but I know a man who can. And as we read these stories, it's really important, friends, that we must not miss that truth. So it's sometimes easy to be over clever with the Bible. You know, somehow you kind of have to, it's a bit like a Dan Brown Da Vinci Code thing. You kind of have to read between the lines. No, you don't. It's a simple book that tells you simple truths. And what is the simple truth of this story? Jesus has power to provide whatever you need, but especially your greatest need, which is the need to enter the kingdom of God. He is the powerful provider. He is the source of help. And how do you become a Christian? You become a Christian. You become a follower of the Lord Jesus by going to the one who has what you need. By going to Jesus. That's how you start the Christian life. But friends, that's how we continue the Christian life. By going to Jesus as the one who has what you need. Always. He's the powerful provider. Don't miss it from this story. Verse 9 sits in the middle. It's the Herod thing. It sits in between them going out and them coming back. But it's got a question right in the middle of it. Herod says, who then is this? Now here's the deal, I think. If you don't know who Jesus is, and if you fail to see who he is like Herod, then you'll never go to Jesus as the one who provides. And if disciples, if we do not see this truth that Jesus is the powerful provider, then do you know what you'll start to do? You'll start to offer people worldly solutions rather than taking them to Jesus. You see, that's what the disciples do. Look at verse 12. They're full of compassion. Please see this. They see a needy crowd. They're moved. They're thinking, this crowd, Jesus is going to be without something to eat. They see their need, but their response is wrong. Because they don't see that Jesus is the powerful provider. And so they come up with all sorts of worldly solutions. And rather than sending them to Jesus, where are they sending them in the story? Away. They actually end up leading the crowd away from Jesus, not to Jesus. Jesus, send them out to the villages. You know, there'll be local food shops over there, and there's an Asda down the road at kind of Bethlehem. And, you know, they'll say, look, they'll go and find somewhere to live and eat for the night. But Jesus says, you've missed the point. And friends, if you don't have this big view of Jesus, when you see needs in people, you'll send them away to Asda rather than sending them to Jesus, the one who is the powerful provider. When faced with the hungry crowds, we have to have this right response. And I'm drumming it into you because I want you to remember it. I can't do it, but I know a man who can. Jesus is the source of our help. A friend of mine used to say this little phrase to me, which is really helpful. But he says, you are not the gospel, Jesus is. When faced with people's needs, we can get overwhelmed, thinking, I've got to sort all these problems out. No, you don't. You can't. But Jesus can. You are not the gospel for the people in your life. All these needy people you might meet, whatever their needs may be, they may be sorted on the outside, but they may have great inside needs. You are not the gospel. I am not the gospel. Jesus is. Because he's the powerful provider. Nothing of greater worth that we can give to people than Jesus. Do you see that? Do you know that? Have you come to him? Some of you here this morning, the first thing that you need to do is to come to him as the provider. The one who has what you need. The one who has forgiveness. before you meet him as judge. He has forgiveness so that you can have a place in the kingdom, back under the rule of the God who made you and loves you. You need to come to the provider. And for some of us, what it means is that we need to stop trying to be the gospel. We stop needing to stop trying to sort everyone's problems ourselves. And we have to start taking people to Jesus, the powerful provider. Jesus is the one who has what everyone in this community needs, and especially their greatest needs. That's lesson number one. That's what he's got to teach them. As he says, go, you give them something to eat. As he says to us, you give Edmonton something to eat. You give your friends and your family something to eat. That's where we start. You have to remember that Jesus is the powerful provider. But then the second thing he teaches them is this. Remember that we are to be dependent deliverers. I have young boys in my house at the moment, and my young boys are big fans of Postman Pat. I don't know if anyone else likes Postman Pat in this room. Yeah, Mandy does. See, Mandy, we've got a real connection today. This is good. You know, we know the AA advert. We like Postman Pat. Now, listen, Postman Pat's a bit of a hero. Okay, if you've ever seen it, he's kind of this man who saves the day lots. But do you know what? At the end of the day, he just delivers parcels. That's his job. He takes from one place and he delivers them to another. It's a worthwhile job. Lots of people have it. It's a great job. But what does he do? He takes and he gives. He takes and he gives. He has a bit of an adventure in the middle, but that's all he does. He takes and he gives. Now, as Jesus powerfully provides for the crowds, actually, how does he get this provision to the people? How does he do it? Have a look. Verse 14. What does he tell his disciples to do? Make them sit down. And then he uses them to distribute the food to the crowds. What are they called to do? Postman Pat. They take and they give. They take and they give. Now, you may have some adventures in the middle. You may have something that goes on along the way. But that's what we're called to do. The disciples are made to directed by Jesus to sit the crowds down. Then Jesus gives the disciples food. And then Jesus sends them away to distribute it to the people, to be delivery boys. It's a very simple pattern, but it is hugely important for us this morning. Have a look, it's a pattern that's actually repeated already in the story. So look at 9 verse 1. This is the experience they've already had. He calls disciples to himself, 9 verse 1. You see that? They gather in. And then what does he do? He gives them something. And then he sends them out with it. That's the pattern of ministry. That is the pattern of being a disciple. You come to Jesus, he gives you something, and you take it to others. It's not yours, it's Jesus's. But you take and you give. You take and you give. In 9 verse 1, he calls them, he gives them this authority, and then he gives them a message to preach, and then he sends them out. And then again, in the story, he brings them to him with this for food, and then he gives them this food, and then they take it to the people, and the people eat and are satisfied. I was reading a book recently, and I'm going to share this with you. If it's not helpful, just leave it. If it's helpful to you, hang on to it. But it's a book I come back to maybe once a year, and it's a really helpful phrase in it where he talks about Christians as distributors, not manufacturers. So manufacturers are people who make stuff. They come up with designs, they produce things. And that's what a manufacturer does. But a distributor, what do? Well, they simply take things that are already made and they distribute it to others. And as Christians, so often we get muddled. We think, well, maybe I'm the manufacturer. Maybe I need to kind of conjure up the help for people. Maybe you muddle it up and you say, I'm the gospel for people. No, you're not. You're a distributor. You're not a manufacturer. Now think about pizza delivery people. If you've ever done that, you call up and you say, hello, Domino's Pizzas, and they say, hey, could I have a pizza? What's happening is that there's a chef, there's someone who makes the pizza. But then eventually it gets put into the back of a motorbike and whizzed off to your house. Now what are we? We're not the chef. We don't cook the pizza. We're just the delivery boys and girls. That's who we are as Christians. We take from the chef, Jesus, and we put it in our motorbikes and we carry it to others. That is the job of a disciple. Disciples are to be deliverers, and they're deliverers who are to be dependent on Jesus for what we need. We keep clinging to Jesus the provider. Just look at verse 3 and 4. So as he sends them out, he gives them some instructions. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Now, how are we to be? If Jesus says to us, you give the crowd something to eat, you go and feed the masses of Edmonton, how do we go about delivering this stuff? We do it dependently on Jesus. We do it trusting that he will provide what we need to take the stuff to others. He will provide for us as we go out and deliver it to others. Do you see the picture? We're to do this dependently on the one who provides. And verse 5, as we take the stuff to other people, take the message of Jesus, the gospel, what are we to expect? We're to expect that some people won't accept it. Some people that we speak to will be, you don't believe all that, do you? Some people will be, oh, that's nonsense. Some people will be, that makes no sense to me. The Bible says it really clearly. That's how they treated Jesus. That's how they will treat his delivery boys and girls. As we take the message, people will reject it. But we are still nonetheless to go with total dependence on Jesus as we deliver the gospel to others. When faced with a hungry crowd, what are we to do? We're to give them Jesus. We're to be dependent deliverers who take the message that Jesus is the one that you have. Jesus is the one who can give you everything you need. That's the message we're meant to take. And the greatest need is met in the Lord Jesus. That is how Jesus is at work in our world today. He's at work through dependent disciples. Why are you sitting here? You might be asking yourself that same question. But why are you sitting here? Probably because a delivery boy came to you with the gospel, shared it with you, and then you came to trust the Lord Jesus as the provider. That's how it works. That's how Jesus is at work in our world. That's what these 12 men did. When Jesus, at the end of Luke's gospel, got up and ascended to heaven, he said to these 12 men, you go and preach forgiveness of sins in my name to all nations. That's what he left them to do. You go and give them something to eat. And they did. And that's why we have the scriptures today, because they got up and they delivered what Jesus had given them to deliver. And then we take from this and we deliver it to others too. That is what we're called to do. And like these guys, when we rock up with just a tiny amount of food, you know, I know it's embarrassing, but just have a look around this room. There's not many of us in this room today, is there? But actually, do you know what? Jesus can take a few loaves of bread and a little bit of fish, and he can multiply it to feed the masses. And the encouragement is that actually, if you see Jesus properly, the powerful provider, he can take a handful of people, a right motley crew like us, and he can multiply what we give and what we bring. If we say we want to be dependent distributors, Jesus in his powerful way can take what we can do and he can feed the masses of Edmonton with it. Do you believe that? I do. That's why we're here. Our ministry as a church, our ministry to our kids that are out in those rooms at the moment, our ministry to this community, we must remember these truths. Jesus is the provider. He is the gospel, not us. And Jesus is the one who has, we go dependent upon him as his deliverance. Whether you're sitting with someone this week who's weeping for whatever reason, maybe someone's struggling because of their brokenness physically. Maybe someone is beginning to wrestle with the fact they're not right with God. What are you going to offer them this week? Be a dependent distributor. Take them the message of Jesus. Just look again with me at verse 13 as we finish. You, this is Jesus speaking, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. In some respects, that is the task that he's left us with. Will you go this week as dependent distributors? Will some of you this week come to him as the powerful provider for the first time? Let's bow our heads and let's pray together.